Well, hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. An excellent weekend coming up. The Coral Eclipse is here. The return of City of Troy after his demolition in the Derby only a month or so back. Really looking forward to this weekend. Alongside a great panel this week, we've got Johnny Pearson and Robbie Wilders from the Racing Post. And as ever, we have Unibet's Ed Nicholson joining us. Ed, a great weekend coming up. Sandown, the star of the show, City of Troy. Looking forward to seeing him back.
Yeah, it's great to see the three-year-old classic form taking on the older horses over 10 furlongs. Always a great occasion when they do take on the older horses, just to see where they are. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And it's funny, isn't it? Last week, that meeting at Newcastle, I always do badly at as a punter. And this week, I normally do quite well. This Sandown and Haydock meeting, they normally, the kind of races are punter friendly normally. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think I've got a few winners.
Oh, that's good. Good to hear. And hopefully the panel do as well. An excellent weekend of sport coming up. Wimbledon currently on. England playing on Saturday after the racing at Sandown, which that makes it a hell of an evening there. So plenty to look forward to. We're going to get stuck into Sandown and Haydock, and we're going to get started with Sandown. The 150 is the Coral Charge Group 3 contest over 5 furlongs. And the market currently looks like this. Living the Dream is 2-1. Twilight Call 7-2. Macarova is 7-1. Desperate Hero 8-1. Equality 12s. Apollo 114. Purasangue 16s. And we're looking at 33-1 and bigger than the rest. And Ed, I'm going to come straight back to you on this race because Twilight Calls is back. A horse that you put up in the top 5 bets video for Royal Ascot actually ran a blinder at Royal Ascot. I think the horse has got a bit of a chance here. What do you make of this race?
Yeah, well, first of all, he is my selection. Heart over head, I don't know. But he's got a great chance, isn't he? He's dropping in grade that Group 1 last time, the King Charles III. It suited the front runners that day. I did look at the race and I looked at the racing comments on the analysis and they confirmed that it kind of was, nothing really came from behind. So Twilight Calls, who is a hold-up horse, had it all to do, I suppose. So ran well, 6, only beaten 3.5 lengths in a Group 1, dropped down to Group 3. I like the draw angle here. He's drawn 1, and I've looked back at the last 15 years running of this race, and stalls 1, 2, 3 or 4 have won 10 out of the last 15. And there's been quite a lot of horses, 146 horses have run. There's only about 3 that have been single figure. So, yeah, I think he's got a good draw. He will need luck because he is a hold-up horse and there won't be much room, but they've got a great jockey, Ryan Moore. So I thought around about 7-2, 4-1. I think I'm going to give him one more chance. I wasn't going to give him another chance at top level, but a grade 3, group 3, I think he's got a chance. There's one horse here, Live in the Dream, who does look the obvious choice, but he's got a relatively poor draw. And I know he's quick, which might just set it up for the hold-up horse in Twilight Calls. Cheap pieces for the first time as well. So, yeah, that's the theory anyway. So, Twilight Calls is my selection. And we're also going money back. Yeah, money back second, third in this race as well.
Okay, excellent. So, yeah, do check out unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions for the money back offer there in the 150 at Sandown. Johnny Pearson, to you next. Living the Dream, a horse who finished second at the start of the season, then was a little bit disappointed and well-supported in the Achilles Stakes, beaten by Believing. What do we make of the chance here? It's a much easier race, isn't it?
I think, you know, he should be too good for the rest of them here. You know, the draw, as Ed said, drawn out in 9's not ideal for him. And, you know, he's going to have to be good to negate that. But on the formula, just going back to last season when beating Highfield Princess at York, you know, his run at the Breeders' Cup was pretty good. He should be too good for them. And it's, you know, it's no point in trying. You know, I can see Twilight Calls. I've been burnt by that horse a few times in the past. And I don't think he's quite good enough myself. The other one I'd give a shout out to would be Desperate Hero for Jack Shannon. He's probably the improving more than a number of these. You know, when you look at Twilight Calls and Equality and Apollo One, you know, they're not progressing anymore. So, whereas he is, I think, still improving, which he's got in his favour, which most of them haven't got. But yeah, Living the Dream should be too good for them.
Yeah, certainly he could definitely be too good for them here, Living the Dream. I was looking through the racing horses that could potentially take on these top two in the markets. Macarova was second in this last year, running, I think, his best RPR of 109. Thought he might be a little bit fascinating in here. Robbie, what did you make of the race?
Yeah, I didn't. Sorry, my voice is quite croaking. Living the Dream, I thought, was I didn't like what I saw from him last time. I know there's that excuse about like the run into the headwind, but he was sort of left alone in that anyway. I think they'd have all had to run into that headwind, like certainly the other prominent racers. Didn't like what I saw from him there. I thought that was a really good run on his comeback on ground that was too soft. If he hadn't run in that Achilles, then I'd probably be all over him, but I just didn't like that at all. So I think actually, in terms of raw ability on the terms, I don't think there's much between Twilight Calls and Makarova. I mean, there certainly wasn't much between them at Ascot and in various other meetings. So I think at the prices, Makarova's probably better value, to be fair. I mean, this looks on paper like a bit of a three horse affair to me. And I think Makarova's probably going to be in the shake-up and you're getting a price that's each way. Very fair each way, I'd say. So I'll go for Makarova.
Absolutely, yeah. Money back a second or third by Unibet in this race. And I think Makarova is a good price in here. Like I say, second in this race last year. It was his first run at Sandown, his only run at Sandown, and I think could see the best of him once again. Let's go to the 225 then, gents. This is the handicap on the card, the Coral Challenge, over a mile, Class 2 event. Perotto topping the market currently at 5-1. Last year's winner was ridden by Tom Marquand there, now ridden by Ryan Moore this year. Holloway Boys 7-1, Too Tempting 7-1, Point Linus and Classic 8-1, Dual Identity 9-1, Metal Merchant 10s 12-1. And bigger about the rest of the field here. Ed, I'll come back to you first here again. Classic, this horse here, we know how much of a fan myself, you and G-Rod were last time we ran at Sandown. We were very unlucky, and I thought we should have had the winner drifted out to a really good price, actually. I can't remember what price it was, but it was definitely double-figure odds and ran an absolute blinder. You put up Dual Identity this day, who actually ran a blinder as well. I thought it was actually quite unlucky not to finish close. They look like the two ways are going. They're only up a pound each, and I think they could go close again.
Yeah, well, the first three in that race will take each other on, don't they? Yeah. Too Tempting as well, the winner. So it is going to be interesting, and the ground's very different. That's what I would say. Good to soft that day. It's going to be faster today, which I don't think it plays into the strengths of Dual Identity. So I'm going to swap horses here and go with Classic. I think he's a little bit better on this ground, although he too does like the softer surface, it must be said. But he did win on this very card 2 years ago over 7 furlongs on faster ground conditions when he was, I think, rated 89. I think that's right. He's now 92. He's put down a pound, for 93. He's put up a pound for coming second last time 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, he drifted out to 16-1 that day.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone thinking, how could he go off 16-1? And I've watched the race several times. He did come from a very long way back, didn't he? And came on the inside and was a little bit unlucky. But as you say, there were two or three in that race that didn't get the best of runs, including Dual Identity. I just think he showed a little bit more that day than he did previously. And when he won at Sandown last year when he used to pull, and he used to be difficult at the end of the race. He didn't have much. He seemed to travel quite well last time, I thought. So I think maybe they might try to run him a little bit closer. I notice he's in the Golden Mile at Goodwood, being trained by Richard Hannon. You'd imagine that they would love to go for that big pot. He's 20-1 for the Golden Mile. I was thinking of having a bit on that each way, anti-post, as well as backing him here. But yeah, Classic's going to be my selection. I think he's got an excellent chance of beating Too Tempting and confirming form with Dual Identity.
Yeah, it looked like that ability was returning with Classic last time out. You've got to remember, this horse is a two-year-old narrowly behind the Foxes. He went on to be fifth in a Derby. That ability is still in there somewhere, I believe. And I think we saw it come back slightly at Sandown last time. So I think we could see improvement again. I think he's a good bet in here. Robbie, to you, what did you make of this?
Yeah, it's a good race, isn't it, Sam? There's a few of these you could argue as being fairly well-treated still. I thought Holloway Boy was quite unlucky at Royal Ascot, really. He just took too long to get his run. But he still needs to really prove that he's not just an Ascot horse. That seems to be where all his best form is. I think Point Linus is quite interesting. He is in stall 10, which is probably not ideal for a front runner, but I think he should probably be able to get the lead. I'm not seeing loads of pace in it. And I don't know, I thought the handicapper maybe could have raised him a bit from his really good run, the John of Gaunt. He didn't get a sort of unpestered lead there like he did at York the previous day when he was so impressive. He's still off 105. He's only £5 higher than the York run, and that was really impressive. Like, the time was good. Everything about it just suggests he's still progressing. I think he's definitely a group horse, and I think he can win this off 105.
Point line, it's a front runner's track, Sandown as well, so could suit. One thing I will say, Robbie, just quickly back to you, is the interesting runner in here, top weight, Cicero's Gift.
Yeah.
This is a handicap debut. Obviously, like, we don't know how good this horse could be first time out. It's over a year since we've seen this horse finish seventh in the St. James's Palace Stakes. But before then, he was a proper hype horse. Like, people get really excited about this horse. And we don't know what could come, but he'd be the one to watch in here, wouldn't he?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, when you first open up the race card, he's the runner that jumps off the page, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, even you go back to his novice form, and he gave it like £9 and a good beating to Docklands, who's obviously now proven at the highest level. You're always on for a horse of this profile, you're always on the lookout for future entries. Has he got any Group Ones or anything coming up? The fact that he's not would concern me slightly. Maybe they're just running him to get his handicap marked down. I don't know. I couldn't really entertain him as a betting proposition. You want to see some strength in the market, certainly. But yeah, he definitely remains a very interesting prospect.
Yeah, he's certainly one I'll be having my eye on during the race. Johnny Pearson, to you, the competitive handicap we've got here at Sandown, who do you like?
As you just said, Cicero's Gift is the sort of unknown. You know, the fact that he's been off for over a year would be very concerning. He's very much one to watch with a view to the rest of the season with him. But, you know, it'd be no surprise to see him put in a good performance. You know, there's lots of form of these that ties in with one another, such as the classic race of Too Tempting and Dual Identity. And you've got Metal Merchant and Perotto both in the same race at Royal Ascot the other week, finishing third and seventh. But Metal Merchant appeals a lot more to me than Perotto. You know, yes, he was four places behind, but he was actually, you know, second of the 10 in the group he raced in. So it's actually, I think, you can actually upgrade that performance a bit more than what, don't just take the seventh place on face value. And I think at 10 to 1, he offers a bit of value in the each way market there, and it'd be my play.
Okay, there's some decent pricing there and some good selections. I mean, I'm really keen on Classic, like Ed said. I mean, switch from Dual Identity. I do think Dual Identity will run a massive race as well, but I think Classic is on that improve, and I think he'll be taken out. The 225. Let's move on to a listed contest then. The Coral Distaff over a mile. 3 o'clock here at Sandown. Soprano is currently topping the market. Winner of the Sandringham Stakes at Royal Ascot, 2-1. Clove Hitch is 4-1. Regal Jubilee 7s. Indelible is 10-1. Unreasonable 12-1. Spiritual 14-1. Bolsena 16s. 50s and bigger about the rest. Now, Soprano stepped up to a mile for the first time in the Sandringham Stakes. Robbie knows all about the reaction that myself and Ross Briley gave in the
office. That was a touch for you, wasn't it?
Flew home. We were both quite sweet on this horse. Robbie, I mean, now in a listed contest over a mile, we know how good this horse could be over a mile.
Mm.
Is he quite solid as a 2-1 favourite, or would you say he's worth taking on?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair price. I mean, you've got to be a good horse to win a Sandringham off a mark of 100. Like, normally you need probably about £10 in hand to win the Sandringham. And I was sort of surprised that if you think you've got a horse that's that well in, may as well run her in the Coronation Stakes. Like, if you're 110, that puts you bang there in the Coronation. She's definitely the right favourite, but there are a few lurking who could be sort of much better than we've seen. I ended up, I napped her Spiritual in this show for the Sandringham. She didn't run. But that was a, you know, that was a handicap of 97, and now she is meeting horses rated £10 higher. I think she's still quite interesting, but I think I'm going to go for Clove Hitch. Like, I just thought she looked a little bit special in a Newbury novice win. Ryan Moore's riding her. Presumably, he could have picked the other judgment horse, Indelible, who obviously reopposes with Soprano from the Sandringham, winning her side. I think it's interesting he's on board Clove Hitch. I mean, she's got to improve on the bare form of what she's done. But I don't know, there's just an awful lot to like about that Newbury win. And, you know, she's got sort of maiden form, which ties in with economics, a Dante winner and stuff. So, I don't know, I think she's the one that could potentially be a bit better than we've seen. We sort of know where we stand with a lot of these. So, I think I'm going to go for Clove Hitch.
Okay, Ryan Moore, 4-1, Clove Hitch for Rory Wilders. I will correct myself. I think I called Soprano. He is, of course, a filly. She is a she. Johnny Pearson, to you then. Who wins the Distaff?
I mean, I think Soprano is the right favourite for the race, but I wouldn't want to be having a bet on him, on her myself. You know, as Robbie said, Clove Hitch, okay, won impressively last time. We don't really know what that form adds up to. But, you know, the third behind Economics in April is looking pretty solid. And then you've got Spiritual, as Robbie said, still pretty unexposed, unreasonable for Joseph O'Brien's, very unexposed, and has some decent pieces of form in there as well. And it's not really a race of fantasy. There's quite a lot of unexposed stars. I think one of them could take a step forward and improve, be better than the rest of them. But I couldn't tell you which filly that'll be. So it's a race I'd rather sit on the side and watch with a view to the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't know whether you know too much about the Irish runner in here, Johnny. I don't know. Unreasonable for Joseph O'Brien bringing this horse over. Obviously, Dylan Brown McMonagall taking the ride. I guess you've watched a few races back of this.
She's got useful pieces of form. The third behind Tarawa last time out. It's pretty solid. Cairo was having his first run for Alice Haynes that day, I think, and ran very well to finish second. And that's very solid piece of form. The form in behind Wendell the time before that is good. Content, obviously, we saw in the... Did she run the British Poly last week? That's another... You know, her form is very solid. You know, she's got to take a step forward in what we've seen, but there's nothing to say she's not going to be able to do that.
Okay, a little bit of a note there on Unreasonable then for the Joseph O'Brien stable. Ed Nixon, you're going to finish us off in the 3 o'clock with your selection.
Yeah, it's just got to be Soprano, I think. You know, first time in a handicap in the Sangreen, and you know, Robbie said it all, really. Has to be a decent fee to win that well as well. I know only just got up, but was, you know, was racing on her own up the middle, and so she didn't have anything to race with, which is another point. I just think she's the best filly in the race. That was a personal best performance, you could say, although she did finish 3.5 lengths in the Group One Cheveley Park last year. So she is she's obviously a classy filly. I just think that's got to be selection. But I actually think the price is a little bit skinny myself.
Okay.
I wouldn't be having the bet on her, but I think she's best filly in the race, and she's still, you know, she's now, she's proven it that she can, you know, that she's in top form as well. So yeah, Soprano for me.
Yeah, we'll see if she can take another step forward. Looking forward to seeing how good she could be on Saturday. The final race we look at from Sandown is the highlight of the weekend. It's the 1 mile, 2 furlong Coral Eclipse Group 1 contest, 3:35 at Sandown, where City of Troy is currently the 3-1 on favourite. Dancing Gemini is 13-2, Ghost Rider is 7-1, JRB is 25-1, Al Riffa is 33-1, See the Fire 66-1, Stay Alert 80-1. And Hans Anderson is the 100-1 outsider of the field. We probably do well. We don't need to spend too long on potential selections unless someone is really keen to take this horse on. Johnny, I'll come to you. 3-1 on. He's unlikely to be a bet, I'm sure, at that price for someone like yourself. But is he just going to win?
I don't fancy having a bet at that price. But with White Birch now not running, I can't really see what's going to beat him, to be honest. I mean, Dancing Gemini is better than what we saw at Epsom, and I think we'll get closer than he was that day. But I can't see him reversing the form and finishing ahead of City of Troy. You know, it's unfortunately, you know, it's always exciting. You get 3-year-olds going up against the older horses for the first time at this level, and it's sort of excitement, but sort of a lot of that excitement's disappeared with White Birch not running. And this time of year, you get a lot of races over 10 furlongs for the same group of horses as well. So they don't have to go for just one option. This time of year, there is too many options for them on the whole, that is. But yeah, City Troy should win, really. And that sort of, there's not really too much to say.
there isn't, is there? Robbie, interesting enough, we've already mentioned White Birch coming out of the race, but Passenger came out of the race a week or so back, or a couple of weeks back. If either of these horses had run, would you have been taking City of Troy? I was quite keen if Passenger had ended up turning up here, that he could beat City of Troy.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the market of Passenger in, but I would probably have just sided with him because, I mean, what he did at Chester was pretty darn special.
He was about 9-2, I think. Yeah.
That could have been a postman play if I wasn't in Portugal. you can't not like what City of Troy did in the Derby. At least we've got 8 runners. I mean, a lot of these,
true.
mile two races threaten to cut up to much shorter. I mean, a lot of these you'd say that's got no chance, really. What I would say is, though, I don't know why Al Riffer's 33-1. Is that can't be right to me.
That is big, isn't it? That
just
is
in
big.
Terms of like the without City of Troy sort of markets. I mean, he's got stacks of Group 1 form, really. Yeah. I mean, I know he wasn't quite at his best in America last year. I can forgive any horse travelling over there and not quite showing their best form. That race probably wasn't really run to suit. One thing is for sure, we got Hans Andersen in here. I think they, well, as a pacemaker,
yeah,
we could probably say. So it's going to be a truly run race. And that's what Al Riffer certainly needs at 1-2, because we know full well that he's probably going to get another couple of furlongs in time. I think he's the one that I'd be playing without City of Troy. I wouldn't want to be lumping on at 1-3. Like, it's just not worth it, is it?
No, it's just not. And look, dead eight, like Robbie said, so you are going to get the three places if all eight run here. So there will be some decent each-way plays in here if you're looking at one to run into the places. Ed Nicholson, how did you analyse and look at this race?
It's just simple, isn't it? City of Troy wins, but you don't back him. I said at the beginning of the show that it is a race I always look forward to, because it is the three-year-olds taking on the older horses. And I also look forward to it because it's always the weekend of my brother's birthday. So I'm always doing something. And I'm always trying to get away from the party to watch this race. Remember when Giants Causeway won it, I kind of sneaked into the spare room. And back in 1989, I was in Ibiza with my dad. That's another story altogether. But I was in Ibiza with my dad and I was watching. And that race, just I think the race has waned in the past. And this is not a particularly great, apart from City of Troy, not a particularly great race. But I just went back to the 89 race because I was 20 and I loved it back then, the racing. And it was Nashwan. It was Warning. Yeah. It was Indian Skimmer, Pacemakers, Greensmith, and Opening Verse, who went off at 200-1 and ended up winning a Breeders' Cup race. So, you know, they were great days back then. And this race does rather disappoint, really. So let's hope City of Troy wins and wins by a long way and in really good style. And then that will help us for the rest of the season when he takes on more older horses and we'll get a better understanding. But City of Troy wins, doesn't he? Just as simple as that.
Yeah, he will just win. It's a shame Graham Robway's not on the show today, because he would absolutely love the stories about some of the races of the past, Ed. We know how much he enjoys those. And watching the race in Ibiza, something I'd love to be doing this weekend. So there we go. That's the panel's thoughts on Sandown's card. Like I say, four races there. City of Troy returns. Let us know down in the comments if you are looking forward to seeing him at Sandown on Saturday. We'll be back shortly after this advert to cover three races from Haydock.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? You get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet. You're on.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet, Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Unibet's Ed Nicholson. Spinning you through the weekend action, we take a trip up to Haydock now for the 205. The first race is a handicap class two event over a mile six. And Dramatic Star is topping the market 7-2. Wild Waves is 6-1. Too Bossy for Us is 7-1. Align the Stars 8-1. 410 Fever is 10-1, Papano 14-1, Gamespeople Play 14-1. Bigger about the rest of the field in here. It's a bit more competitive up at Haydock, I'd have to say. We've got some decent field sizes, some good handicaps here. Ed, I'm sure there's going to be extra places at Haydock with Unibet this weekend. Who do we like in this?
Yeah, this is an extra place race. This is a really good meeting. I really look forward to this meeting. Plenty of good horses and improving handicappers, and the Lancashire Oaks, of course, as well. This particular race is a 1-mile, 6-furlong race. Talking about the Lancashire Oaks, the mother of Dramatic Star, Dramatic Queen, I think her name was, came second in the Lancashire Oaks exactly 4 years ago, minus 30 minutes, because the Lancashire Oaks is the next race, right, and she came second, beating a neck. Over a mile four in the Lancashire Oaks. And Dramatic Star will certainly be better over the further distance of 1-mile, 6, you would have thought, given the breeding. I thought Dramatic Star had a really decent chance, already performed to a good standard. William Haggis, he normally has one or two handicappers in this meeting that he sends up, either for this race or the Old Newton Cup, or both, improving handicappers. Tom Marquand is the jockey on board. I just thought there were a lot of ticks for this horse, and I'm going to make, you know, it's a good bet, I think, Dramatic Star. Ran about 4-1 as well. You could back it each way with the extra places in some ways. So, yeah, Dramatic Star is my selection for the Haggis and Marquand team.
Okay, Dramatic Star on the 205 at Haydock, Fred Nicholson. Robbie Wilde, is extra places on offer here? Is there anything at a price that we can get into those extra places?
I just found this race so hard.
It's not easy, is it?
Yeah, there's just so many horses you can say that could be well treated, that could be well treated. It's really confused me. I probably spent too long just going around in circles with it. I respect what Ed's saying about Dramatic Star. Maybe 401 Fever. I think that was a really good run at Ascot again. Like he keeps running really good times at Chester and stuff. I think he's going to be absolutely fine with this test. I mean, he's drawn slightly wide, but basically, mate, I don't know. I think there's going to be stacks of winners to come from it. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, I think this is a really, really good handicap. I think there are plenty of winners coming out of this one. Johnny Pearson, your view on this one here?
I really like the chances of Align the Stars for Charlie Johnson.
Yeah.
He's a good winner last time at Thirsk. You know, he's gone up in the weights and he's got the second and third that they're reopposing here. But I was watching the race back earlier and it's really strong through the line and looked a much sort of more physically strong horse and then the turn behind. I think the step up to mile six will really bring improvement, and I think he's a really good bet.
Yeah, he was just a typical kind of Johnson horse, wasn't he, that day? He just kind of got away throughout the start, but as soon as he got to the front, he just kept going. You just weren't going to catch this horse, and he could do exactly the same again, try and make the make all and kick from the front and see if he can lead. So yeah, like Robbie said as well, there are plenty of winners potentially coming out this race. It is a really good handicap at Haydock. Looking forward to seeing how that one goes on Saturday. Let's move on then to their highlight up at Haydock. It's the Lancashire Oaks, over a mile and a half, 240 there, and Tiffany's topping the market for the Mark Prescott. So Mark Prescott stable at 5-2. Queen of the Pride is 3-1. Lady Boba 4-1. Forest Fairy 6-1. Sea Theme is 8-1. Sweet Memories 11-1. Novus is 16-1. The outside of the lot is Colossal at 33-1. A group contest that's certainly more competitive than the Coral Eclipse this weekend. Robbie, I'll come to you first on his. Not often you see a Sir Mark Prescott horse favourite for like a Group 2 contest, is it? But no, Tiffany did look very good last time out.
I mean, I must admit, I was, because I've been off for quite a while, I was like, who's that? Like, she obviously won at Newcastle 8 days ago. Watch that back. Yeah, there's plenty to like about that performance. I don't know. I don't know loads. I don't know. She's sort of come very under the radar, really.
Oh, really?
Winning in Germany and stuff. Queen the Pride was good last time in the Pinnacle Stakes, which is obviously a really good trial for this. I mean, there's a school of thought to say maybe Lady Boba can reverse that form. That was a return, and she probably didn't have she was had to be switched that day. I don't know, I think I'll give another chance to Forest Fairy. Like she was seventh in the Oaks. A lot of good horses don't run well at Epsom. I mean, previously she beat the Ribblesdale winner Port Fairy in pretty good style at Chester. She's only run three times. She's getting a lot of weight from 4-year-olds. It's probably a slight concern that Ross Ryan's deserting her to ride Lady Bova, but that means she's a bigger price. And I think she's got a little bit more upsides than the prices suggest.
Okay, yeah, Forest Fairy was kind of the each-way play for most people, wasn't it, in the Oaks back at the start of the month. Back at the start of June. So, yeah, look, Forest Fairy, Rob Hornby takes the ride. Might be the second string, but you just never know. And like Robbie say, you're going to get a bigger price because Ross Orion is aboard Lady Boba. Johnny Pearson, to you next on this one. What did you make of this?
I think Tiffany's the right favourite. You know, there's a lot to like about her run at Newcastle last time and beating the Carnation, who previously won was the German Guineas or Oaks, one or the other.
Yeah.
But the one that I think's really quite significantly overpriced is Colossal. It was actually
Make your case.
She's got some pretty good form over in Germany, and then she's having a first run for Jamie Osborne at Ascot the other week. and actually ran very well for a long way, not being beaten to only being beaten five lengths to an improving handicapper. And you know, she was running off mark of 105 that day, which, you know, is a tough in an Ascot handicap on your first run for what, 8 months or whatever it is always going to be a pretty difficult task. And she actually ran really well. And I'd expect her to have taken a step forward from that. And at 33-1, she's, you know, she's far too big a price. Like I said, being in the places are.
I like your case. Because Jamie Osborne horses sometimes get underestimated, for sure.
It's a dead eight again in here as well. Like, so, you know, you're going to get a good each way play here if all eight runners run. Ed, what did you make of this?
Well, I didn't expect to say this, but I think I'm alone here because I'm backing Tiffany. Those of you, no one gets that, do they? You're too young.
Oh, that was what's the reference on it?
I think you're alone here.
No, okay.
1987, yeah, UK nice. Number one. I'm just showing my age. Tiffany, I think, she won a group, won a listed race, group three, now trying group two. She's a top rated filly in the race. I'm not going to desert her. So, yeah, Tiffany will be my selection to continue the improvement and take this group two.
Okay, Tiffany, Fred Nixon. Sorry, Ed, I've got quite a young panel on today.
You deserve more. I thought I'd been thinking about that all morning. I thought I'd get a rapturous applause.
Sorry. Let's move on then, gents. The final race on the ITV racing that we're covering is the 3:15 at Haydock, which is the old Newton Cup handicap over a mile 4 furlongs, which she's Relentless Voyager, top of the market at 4-1, Layer Kel 5-1, Chillingham 13-2, Epic Poet is 9-1, Iron Lion is 12-1, along with Sheer Rocks and Maglack and 16s bar these. Where should I go first? Ed, I'll come to you. I'm guessing there could be extra places in this race here. And the horse that I like the look of was actually the David O'Mara horse, Epic Poet, who ran behind Crystal Black in the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes at Royal Ascot. I think the David O'Mara team, they're definitely coming back to form at a good time of the year. Plenty of big handicaps coming up. And yeah, I've got a feeling Epic Poet might run a big race here.
Well, that's interesting you can say that, because first of all, you're correct insofar as it's an extra place race. And secondly, I do fancy David O'Mara here, but he's the other one I go for.
Iron Lion.
Yeah. I did look at Epic Post and I looked at the comments and I was quite keen. And then I looked at the brilliant analysis on the Racing Post website, and they did say that, you know, that race that he ran in at Royal Ascot, it favoured those horses coming from behind. And I looked at the run, they did seem to go really quick. So I also love course and distance form at Haydock, especially. I love course and distance form anywhere, but at Haydock. And I also don't mind it if a horse gets beaten at short odds next time up, just because you can always forgive a horse a race. And if there's a reason to continue to support the horse, you're getting better odds. And Iron Lion, I thought, was a big price at 12-1. 11-4 favourite last time at Ayr. I watched the replay several times. I thought he was going to win. You know, club coming to the straight, he's going one of the best. Eucan Glenn won the race and he was on the other side of the course. I don't know if it mattered, but Iron Lion was on the diametrically opposed side of the race to the winner in the second. And when let down, didn't find anything. But when let down at Haydock last time, it might be the ground, but last time found plenty for Jamie Spencer, drifted across the left-hand side, which isn't a bad thing at Haydock, going towards the rail. And beat my selection that day, who got a bit of a troubled run, the Charlie Johnson horse. Probably would have won if he got a better run. But I just think Iron Lion is worth backing at around about 12-1 over a course and distance we know he enjoys. And you're getting a bit of value, I think. But it is a competitive race. I completely understand.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. David O'Mara, I love his horse at this time of the year. I was actually really excited. My good friend Darkness won at Newmarket last week. I'm looking forward to backing him in the Golden Mile at Goodwood, hopefully, where he ran a big race last year. But their horses are certainly hitting form, the O'Mara stable. But Ed, not with Epic Poet, he'll be with Iron Lion at 12-1. Robbie, to you then, a competitive handicap to finish things off here. Who do we like?
Yes, mate. I mean, if Johnny likes Colossal in the previous race, then maybe he would be well advised to consider a related double with Epic Poet.
Just to try and
nick an edge. I like the Epic Poet. He was obviously it did pay to sort of be held up in that race, so it went quite hard. But he had to prove his stamina that day over 1 mile 4, because all of his best form before that was over a mile 2, and he certainly did that. I think this horse, David O'Mara, is going to get some decent wins out of. He's got the similar profile to a lot of horses. He's sort of really sort of resurrected, having gone off the ball for former connections. I think he's a very fair price, to be honest. I think he's going the right way. He was quite eye catching on his stable debut the time before. Just also give a shout out to Maglark. I think this horse is quite well handicapped. He is very well bred. He's out of the 1,000 guineas with a Ganati. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I put him up in one of these shows about a month ago. He didn't end up running in that Haydock card with the Pinnacle Stakes on.
Yes, I remember.
He didn't
that.
End up running that day because they thought it was going to be quick ground, and it rained loads, and the condition would have been fine. I think he's well handicapped. They got the blinkers on first time. That might make a bit of a difference. I think his Goodwood form a couple of starts back is, I think that was a good performance. But Epic Pirate being my main selection.
Okay. I actually
looked at that horse, Robbie. That's interesting. I was just going to ask your opinion, because I did look at Maglark for the exact same reason as you. I think it's a horse that's got... But I was a bit worried about the ground. He seems to have done all his best races on softer ground, and he did get beat of short odds, didn't he, on Good to Firm? And he was taken out on Good to Firm. I didn't know whether it would be too quick for him.
It is a definitely credible concern, I mean, I see there is some rain around at Haydock. I mean, I think he's not going to run if you're getting money back sort of thing if he doesn't turn up. I think he's definitely one to keep on side of, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's currently good going, as described on the Race Post website, currently at Haydock. So if there was a little bit of rain, that will certainly change. So Epic Pirate and Maglack to look out for Robbie. And who have I got left to go to? I believe I've got Johnny Pearson.
Obviously, you mentioned Epic Poet from the form of the cloth. So I actually fell on Sheer Rocks, who was further back that day in the same race at Ascot. But he was having his first run since running in this same race last year, where he finished fifth off the not beaten far fifth at the £2 higher mark. And I think, 12-1, he should run well again and can be in the places. Now there's a couple that are quite interesting here that sort of. Astro King should run well, but it's going to be no easy task up with running off 9-10-12 on the back. And then perhaps most interesting one is Sheridan for Ian Williams. And Victory Hayes have purchased the horse at €250,000 in November from France and Aga Khan. And you don't spend that much money on a horse expecting it to be a sort of just run. And some of the form from his racing in France is pretty useful. So we'll be watching that one with one eye and look forward to seeing what he can do for the rest of the season. This might just be a starting point for him, but I think he could be a fair bit better than a mark of 94.
Okay. Well, Sheer Rocks looks like the main selection. Robbie, that was part of the related double that Johnny could have had. But you do this each year. We haven't really discussed. Just explain to viewers and listeners what you describe as the related double.
Yeah, it's a strategy I've got. It's when there are two conflicting form, the same form line in two different races on the same day or the same meeting. So if the first one comes in, then the form has theoretically been boosted. So you're going to beat the market because the markets will react to that. So, I mean, you're certainly wrong more often than you're right. But I don't know. It's something I've been doing for quite a while. And I think there is rationale. It's one of probably my favourite theory that I've conjured up. I mean, I've probably not created it, to be fair. But the related double. You'll be hearing more about it on these shows.
Yeah, the related double. Robbie does. He mentions it a few times on these shows. So do listen out when he does so. So there we go. There's the seven races we've covered on ITV from Sandown and Haydock. Shortly after this, we'll be getting any other selections as well as our weekend best bets.
Get 50% off your first 3 months in the Racing Post Members Club. As a member, you get access to the digital newspaper exclusively available to members the night before. You'll get daily tips on the likes of Pricewise, Tom Siegel, Robbie Wilders and Paul Keighley. Enjoy award-winning journalism from the industry's best writers and watch replays from all British and Irish racing now available within the Racing Post app. Subscribe today and get 50% off your first 3 months membership.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson. Now giving any other selections, as well as any other sport going on this weekend and our weekend that's. But we'll start off with any other selection, if there are any. I'm just going to quickly give a mention on Sunday to the 307 at Dover, which is the Prix Jean Prat, over 7 furlongs, Group 1 out there. Really interested to see a lot of UK representatives out there, actually. But I quite like the chance of having a cigar for Jean-Claude Rouget, who was actually second last time out at Longchamp in a Group 3 contest behind Lazat. Now, Lazat's going to potentially come over to Goodwood this year, running the Lennox Stakes. Could run the Sussex, but like to run the Lennox Stakes. An unbeaten horse of Jerome Rainier. They think they've worldled this horse. And having a cigar, previous form, looks really solid. Dropping back to 7 furlongs, I think he's got a right chance on Sunday. Johnny, is there anything you want to give a mention to, or are we going to discuss the chance of England this weekend?
No, I mean, well, I'd rather not discuss. I mean, it's bad enough watching. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I'm looking forward to watching it, to be honest. It's going to be, it's going to be a hard game, I think.
In terms of England then, right, let's discuss it, because there aren't many selections coming elsewhere. Let's talk about England. They're running as soon as the Sandown card finishes. I think it's 10 minutes after they kick off at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Scraped through a few days back. Yes, it was lucky. A Jude Bellingham goal in the 95th minute and then a Harry Kane winner in extra time in the first minute of extra time, I think that was. Honest opinions, are we going to win on Saturday? Ed Nixon, to you first.
Well, they've been disappointing, haven't they? But they've been getting through a bit like a two-year-old that keeps on scraping through and then races in a grade one. Is he going to win? Is he just holding back and going to do it in the big grade one? Yeah. Is he going to improve past all his bad performances, but he's still winning? Or is he just that good and therefore the form is going to be franked and he's only a grade three or a listed horse? I mean, that's what you're betting on, isn't it? Because if England play like they have been playing, they won't beat Switzerland. But if they get some sort of fillip from beating the way they did, in the manner they did last time out, then they are a better team than Switzerland on paper. But I think at the odds, and everyone here, not so much me, but the experts here are odds guys, you'd have to say that Switzerland are overpriced, wouldn't you?
So
100%. I just looking at it from betting, if you just said it was AVB and A was 5-4 evens and B was 11-4 and you got the draw in there as well, obviously, you'd say that B was the value price at 11-4. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think most people in England will be betting England to win. I really hope they progress, and I'll be watching it from behind the sofa. But at the odds, I think you'd be on Switzerland, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, I thought Switzerland were actually a really good price to beat Italy. I thought Italy didn't look great all tournament. They were lucky to scrape through against Croatia. I think they were about 9-4 against Italy. I ended up having a bet on that. The Race Post actually put a tweet out saying if England were a horse, who would they be? Some of the names that were thrown out there were Goshen, Mad Moose, Champ, Archibald, and most of them are just saying, you never know what's going to turn up, Robbie, which is about right. Those horses probably sum England up quite well.
I'd say you sort of do know what's going to turn up. It's going to be awfully boring for 90 minutes, and there might be a moment of brilliance. I think if Palmer starts, I'd fancy us more, but I don't think he's going to start Palmer. He's different gear. Like Saka's not been shown much at all for me, so that's going to be crucial. I think Switzerland will probably win in extra time. Is my prediction. If you're interested,
basically, all of us on this panel are hoping England win. But
I'm hoping Switzerland
but with our hearts, we want England to win.
I care about Chelsea way more than England, man.
Well, look.
Someone put it well to me the other day. He goes, how much do you have to have on another team before you want the other team to win? So five on Switzerland, I don't really care. 10 are on Switzerland. 100 on Switzerland, would that make you care?
Oh, yeah.
Would that be it, 100? I suppose it's how much you're going to win. But, you know, let's hope England win, really. I mean,
let's hope we do.
I really want them to. We all want them to win. It'd be fantastic. And they've got a great side of the draw, haven't they? I mean, literally, they've never had it so easy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the only team on our side of draw that could potentially, you know, be a top-class team are the Dutch. So we'll have to, and that could be we'll be playing the semi-finals. We'll just have to wait and see. But Turkey looked good again the other night. So who knows? It's it could be made for a shock this Euros this year. But as always, plenty of sport this weekend. Do make sure you gamble responsibly. The MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet is to gamble responsibly and only with money you can afford to lose. Just quickly then go around the panel for weekend best bets. Who is the best bet this weekend? Johnny Pearson, you're first.
Living the dream. Sandown and the, what was it, two? 150.
150. Okay, living the dream and the 150, the coral charge for Johnny Pearson. Ed Nixon to you.
Yeah, 205 Haydock, the 1-6 handicap. Dramatic star. His mother won the Lancashire Oaks on the same day 4 years ago to around about 25 minutes difference. And I think a Dramatic Star can do the same. I think, his mother came second and Dramatic Star can go one place ahead and win that race on the same day.
Okay, Dramatic Star 205 at Haydock. I'm going to go in the 225 at Sandown, the Coral Challenge. And I'm going to go with Classic. Oh, really unlucky second last time out. I think Richard Hannon's charge is going to take a step forward once again. I think that pound rise isn't going to be of any effect. I think 8-1's a really fair price with Pat Dobbs aboard. And Robbie Wilders finishes off with your best bet.
Yeah, I think you can't really. I wanted to do Al Riffa without City of Troy, but we can't really do it without one. So let's keep it simple. Forest Ferry, 240 at Haydock in the Lancashire Oaks. It's getting an awful lot of weight from the 4-year-olds. I think you just forgive her Oaks run. She's actually got a massive chance.
Okay, there we go. On screen now, weekend naps. You can see them there. As always, these will be boosted by Unibet at the time of this video and podcast uploads. Do head to unibet.co.uk to get hold of those. What are the panel up to this weekend? I mean, the obvious thing will be saying at 5 o'clock you'll be watching England playing. But Robbie Wilders, is there anything else going on for you this weekend?
Well, we had the, you might tell by a couple of our croaky voices that we had the Racing Post summer party last night. So I'll be fully focused on rest and recovery. Need to get back in the steam room, need to get back in the gym, need to get back to eating healthy and just soaking up all the sport and having a good time. What about you, mate?
Good stuff. I'm actually going to go to Sandown. I haven't been racing for a while, but I'll be at Sandown on Saturday and they are showing England on the big screen at 5 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Ed Nixon, are you going to be on a race course this weekend?
I'm on a race course, but not for racing. Friday, I'm going to Chepstow, who will be having Shania Twain there playing. So it's Live Nation. There's no racing, but it's going to be plenty of people there. So Friday, Shania Twain, my cowboy hat, and I'll be rocking it. And then Saturday,
Glastonbury. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she was great at Glastonbury, wasn't she? Nice. I saw it on the TV. Yeah. And then the next day, I'll probably get over it, and then watch a bit of telly, watch the racing from Sandown, and obviously England, hopefully progress. And then on Sunday, I'm going to Wimbledon to watch a bit of tennis.
Ah, well, it sounds like you've got a good weekend, but that don't impress me much, Ed. And Johnny Pearson, you're the final one. What's going on for you this weekend?
Maybe don the Lycra and get out on the bike and, you know, no doubt annoy a load of road users in their cars. Maybe a bit of golf. We'll see what happens. You know, trying to keep it active and healthy.
That's it. Well, look, plenty going on for us this weekend. Let us know down in the comments what you're up to this weekend, as well as giving us your best bets. Put them in the comment. We do read them. Thanks, as always, to my panel, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson. We'll be back again next Thursday for a weekend postcast. July Cup will be on the agenda. Looking forward to previewing that with my panel. But yeah, thanks for watching. Like, comment, share and subscribe, and we'll see you very soon.